And it's my privilege to present Matt and Aaliyah. I don't know if both of you want to come or just Matt. Both of you come on up. This is truly a gift of God, and we are honored that they are here and love them, love the word that they have, and I know God has good things for every one of us. Amen.
Hey, thank you. Well, guys, we're glad to be here, and we're going to pray one more time real quick. Aaliyah, you want to open us up in prayer?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
So if you guys want to bow your heads with me, Father God, we invite your presence now. We ask that Matt and I would be led by your spirit this morning, that you would speak the message that is directly from your Father heart for this church, and that you would cause the hearts of the people here to come alive in a new way, and that this word would just bless them. And so we thank you, Father, for the opportunity to speak, and we just love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right.
Thanks, Aaliyah. Okay. All right, you can take a
seat. Okay. So Aaliyah is the greatest gift outside of my salvation that Jesus ever gave me. So bless. You want to give her a hand clap for coming with us? So we're not announcing till January, but we can announce it with you guys. We found out we're going to be first-time parents. And Aaliyah is a whole week, 8-9 weeks pregnant, somewhere in there, 8 and a half right now. And so this morning I wanted to talk on a subject on the gift of prayer. So in the holiday season, a lot of what we think about with Christmas is giving gifts, receiving gifts, and all of that. But I wanted to bring proper perspective. God is the biggest gift giver. Gifts are an expression of personality. They're an expression of love. They often carry kind of a tone of the person giving the gift. When I was younger, I used to wrap my brother's presents in duct tape or something and then wrap something over it so they had to really try hard to do it. Or get a really big box and then a smaller box and a smaller box and then a smaller box and then put like an old shoe in it or something. You know, so it takes on personality. My mom, of the five love languages, hers is giving gifts. She loves to give gifts. But we know who our Father in heaven, according to James 1:17, I believe it is, that all good and perfect gifts come from the Father of lights, the Father from above. God gives you good gifts. Do you have children? They are a gift from God. Do you have moments, you think back to the presence of God that touched your heart? That's a gift from him. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, when you've seen them active, they carry the expression of the heart of God. Yeah, there are gifts of prophecy, but really God himself is prophetic in nature. You know what? Even giving that God asks us to do, he's the biggest gift giver, and he gave his son Jesus for us. And if he gave his son, Romans 8 says, what else would he not give? Well, that's not part of my message, but I'm just kind of talking. This morning I was praying, and last night I was praying. I kept hearing a name, and this could totally just be breakfast. This could be Cheerios. This could have been last night's, what is it called? It's not menudo, it's pozole, yeah. I kept hearing the name Lauren. Is there someone in here whose name is Lauren, or you have a family member named Lauren? Okay, there's a few names. Okay. Well, one of you might have a word for you. So, one of those Laurens. I really felt like this was from the Lord. I normally don't call people's names out because it's super risky. I know there are prophetic types who call it names and birthdays, and that's not my style. But I really felt like it was a true word of the Lord, and I figure it's worth a risk, and if I look foolish, that's fine. But if God's in it, then it might help. Do any of the Laurens have hypertension or a heart problem? Any of those Laurens? I heard of the word hypertension. I don't even know what hypertension is. I assumed it had to do with the heart. So you can write it down, but what I heard was a new heart with the name Lauren, that God wanted to anchor their heart in hope, and that God says that they are brilliant, that God's given them a brilliant mind. They have the mind of Christ, and I felt like they know what God is asking them to do. They've had wise counsel, and it seems very natural, but God is saying go for it. So I don't know if that sounds applicable to anyone there with the name Lauren, but if it does, you might share it with them. It might be encouraging. Or they might be like, that's crazy. That's I don't know. Cool. Go back to my message. I just figure it's worth the risk. Does anyone have an eye problem with fogginess of eye? I don't know what it's called. I see a foggy eye. It seems like a dull gray color. Does anyone have just blurry vision? What is that? Okay. Sweet, do you mind if we pray for you real quick? Okay. Does someone want to lay your hand on their shoulder? Do you want to lay a hand on our shoulder? And what's your name?
Petra.
Okay, Petra? Okay. So do you want to repeat after me? Jesus, I thank you that you love Petra with all of your heart, and you give good gifts. I ask in Jesus' name that these eyes would be healed, the fogginess would be gone, and her eyesight would be returned to normal. And in Jesus' name, I command your eyes be healed in Jesus' name. Be restored in Jesus' name. Amen. Want to check that out? Do you feel anything happening at all? So what do you feel, Petra? Okay. We're going to pray for you again right now, okay? I don't mean to make you feel awkward at all, but I just saw an eye, and I'm like, if God shows something, normally it's because he wants to do something about it. But for you, real quick, if I can look at you in the eyes, there's new hope for your life. I don't know you. I don't know if I've ever met you, but there is new hope for you. Maybe some things have fallen apart in your life. Maybe finances or family have gone to the wayside, but there's hope for you today. And when you're thinking about your future and you're thinking about, what am I going to do? I can hear conversations you might have had with yourself and with God. What am I going to do? Where do I go from here? And the Lord says, I have a bright hope and a bright future for you. And I want to walk with you. And not only is it bright, but I'm going to walk with you. I see like a green grassy field with the wind blowing, and with a big tree, just a beautiful picture of rest and camaraderie with the Lord. When the Lord says, I'm going to restore your childhood years, I don't know what that means to you, but I just feel the Lord restoring childlikeness, and even some of that's going to be the way you are with children. I don't know if it's grandchildren or just children in general, that they're going to look at you as a mom or a grandmother in some ways that they may or may not have, but you're going to have easy trust with kids, and God's going to show them love, and he's going to make you so fun around them, and your personality is going to come alive. And so hope is what will beam from your eyes, but hope is what they're going to get. There might be little foster kids, I don't know, but I see them looking at you, and there's brightness and joy in them. You're going to bring others joy, okay? But I just bless your eyes in Jesus' name, and I bless your vision in Jesus' name. And I say, may the Lord restore to you all the locust is eaten, all the devil is taken. God has great plans for you in Jesus' name. Amen. So... Ooh. So I had a prophecy. Normally, I don't go places and like prophesying over lands normally. I might like praying for places. I don't necessarily like praying, prophesying. But all during worship, I was writing down a word. And I feel like this is from the Lord. And it seems a little bit bold, but I feel like it's from God. So I just felt like over Douglas, I put, Douglas, you'll be redefined in Jesus' name, that the Lord is starting something fresh here, and that over Douglas, I declare that Douglas will be prosperous, successful, happy, and known. Douglas will be a destination place. It won't just be a place of transition. It will be a destination place. I saw planes coming here, luxurious commercial planes coming to Douglas. I know. I just see that the Lord is beginning to plant businesses. And I see that God is calling the church to rise up, to partner with the economy, and to create solutions in the economy. That for those that have eyes to see and ears to hear, it might seem somewhat natural, but God is calling people here to dig their heels and to have a vision for Douglas and to have God's heart. And part of that means starting things that are new and investing financially, locally, and creating jobs. I just see that the Lord is going to open up resources. I don't know if that's mines. I don't know if that's what that means. But he's opening up resources that cause Douglas practically, naturally to prosper. And I just see that's something that you can begin to declare in prayer. I declare Douglas is a prosperous city in Jesus' name. Begin to just prophesy over your land. I declare jobs are being created. I declare new industries are starting here. And not just low-wage jobs, but high-paying jobs. And your city is called to be a blessing to the nation. Now, I don't know what that means. I can't tell you how that happens. But there's a calling of God here. And part of it looks very practical, but it fuels what God would like to do as well. I see that's a destination city. I see planes, commercials coming in. I said that. I felt like the Lord is saying, I'm about to expose resources that fuel a new movement. The economy says God is mine. I declare prosperity. I claim that my righteous purpose will go forward in economic systems. I declare and I claim that for the church, it has its inheritance in the city. It's time for the church to say we have an inheritance. We are no longer poor. We're no longer just whatever. But this is where God gets glory. When people can't see it in the natural, but the church can. That's part of the glory of God. Part of Abraham's glory was financial. It wasn't the only part of it, but it fueled the legacy generations from then. God wants to bless you holistically, and part of it's here. And part of it's impossible to believe. Some of you, you've had injustices against your life. I see somebody here, I don't know if it's your father or grandfather, something in there, but money was stolen, business was stolen. I don't know if that was in Mexico, but I see that there is injustice. It was wrong, and money was stolen, something went away, something that belonged to you, a natural inheritance. Whoever that is, God is wanting to restore and bring a legacy to your life, and to believe again that if you start something entrepreneurially, that it can happen and last. So I just prophesy over the church is rising up to lead and innovate in economic and social justice. I felt like the Lord wanted the term righteous mammon, which is not a word I use often, but that it would be money used for the Lord's purpose as well as for good things like job creation. It's not going to be used for greed. That this isn't going to be an excessive city that tries to build itself. It's going to fuel movements around the world for missions, in the church world, for families, for single moms and dads. People will come here and you will have something to give. You will have something to clothe and you will be a sending city. You won't just... I saw a Bible college or Bible training center here, but it's not like it's just for a few dozen. I see hundreds of people coming here to Douglas. And so one day a youth will say about Douglas, I live in Douglas, and they'll have it with a proud voice. I live in Douglas. You know, I don't know what you guys look at that at Douglas as, but I hear them saying it with pride. I live here. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Even kids who aren't Christian, who don't sense the spiritual blessing, I live in Douglas will be a good thing. And so there's new vision for Douglas, revitalized, lead in economic systems. And so the flip side of this is if you don't pray into the economic side, it may not happen or it may happen without the church advancing. And so that's if you're not praying about Douglas's economy, if you're not praying about God's place for Douglas in a larger system, something's incomplete. It's like a puzzle. A puzzle doesn't make sense without every piece that's there. There's a piece of the puzzle that's economic prosperity. But there's also a piece that Douglas plays in the nation, like the appeal to heaven flag. There's a part of this that without Douglas, the Church of Douglas fulfilling its call, the picture is incomplete. You want your puzzle piece to be in the whole of the story. It's like a body. If you're missing your hand, your body doesn't make sense. But also a hand that's disconnected from the body doesn't make sense. An eye isn't a part of the body if it's disconnected. It only finds its purpose in connection to the larger body. There is a part of the Church of Douglas that's called to benefit the larger body of Christ. And we all have to get over our, I don't have something to give, or it's just me, it's just Douglas. I'm an introvert by nature. I don't like talking sometimes. I like hiding away. I like hiding away and reading. But at the same time, it's just like there's something missing. If I and if you don't realize that you have a part to play. You have something to offer the body of Christ. Without you, the body is incomplete. You are a gift to the body. In Ephesians 4, it says that the body builds itself up by speaking the truth in love. Somebody and some buddies aren't going to be built up unless you're fulfilling your role, because how does God build up the body? Yes, it's in personal devotional prayer, but yes, it's through other people. God is very practical. He uses people to build up people. You don't build a house by just praying it into existence, though that's, that could be part of it. You grab a hammer, you get the materials, you get the supply. Like, you're God's hammer, you're God's hands and feet to each other and to the larger body. And so believe it, prepare for it, and think that way. Change your mindset. Maybe that's a little bold. God wants to use you, and it's not just for you, and it is for you. And in the same way, I say this, get your individual calling straight. Without you understanding yourself, you won't be able to benefit even your local church. You may not be called to do everything here at the church, but you're called to do something in relation to this local body. And I'm coming from the outside in, so nobody told me to say that. I'm saying that. Maybe Jesus through me. So find your place. Find connection. Don't disconnect yourself from the body. Because even you don't make sense apart from the body of Christ. Because you're only one piece. You're only one ear. You're only one eye. You can't function to full success without the larger body, without each other, without your families, without the family of God. And so God bless you. And that is not a part of my message, but it's a good word. Yeah. And so if you'll turn to Isaiah 56. Do you have it up on the screen? Will my beautiful assistant come forward? My wife. I do not call her my assistant all the time. Just read it for me, huh?
Okay, so if you have a Bible with you, will you turn to Isaiah 56? Louder. And we're going to read through the whole chapter.
Until verse 8, through verse 8.
Oh, we're going to read till verse 8. So thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come. And my righteousness be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to the holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered.
So if you'll turn to verse 7, it says, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. How many of you have heard that verse before? My house shall be called a house of prayer. And so he says, my house shall be called a house of evangelism. No, my house shall be called a house of miracles. No, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Though all those things are still part of God's attributes. The place where God rests. He lets down his shoulders. The place where there's fellowship. When you're talking in the kitchen as food's being made. And the fun that's there. Or the sitting in the living room, in the den. And just having coffee conversations. Or the weeping because something happens. He's like, all the emotions, all of my personality will dwell in the place of prayer. A lifestyle of prayer. And I love the term that a house of prayer versus just a mission of prayer, an assignment of prayer. Because you see, it is holistic. It touches every angle of our lives. And it's a gift that God gives us. When we're sad, it says pray. Why? We find strength in Him. Those who pray, as those who wait on the Lord, which is a form of prayer, He strengthens them and gives them joy. But as you begin to look at this passage, it says, these I will bring to my holy mountain. And that's why I had to bring you read the whole chapter. It says these, referring to the people before. It says the foreigner. In verse 3, it says, let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Let not the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree. The foreigner was outside of the promises of God. The foreigner, the Gentile, had no portion of an inheritance in Jesus. But the Lord is saying, but that foreigner who wants me, he feels separated, he feels isolated, he feels disconnected. He can join himself to me. He can do just the opposite. He can have me. The eunuch, if you guys all know what a eunuch is, I won't explain that one. The eunuch who can't have kids, is if you seek me, if you love me with all your heart, if you pursue me, he's like, I'll give you an inheritance better than children, a monument, an everlasting name, and whose name would be cut off in the natural. That's what a eunuch would happen. So he's calling these outcasts, it says in verse 8, these outcasts to himself. So do you feel distant? Do you feel disconnected? Do you feel isolated from the promises of God? Do you feel everyone else has God's blessing but not me? Everyone else gets to see God work but not me? Do you feel isolated from fellowship? Do you feel depressed? Do you feel oppressed? I'm supposed to live in freedom, but I don't feel this. Do you feel everyone else has God's blessing, not me? Do you feel chained? Do you feel dry? Do you feel you're supposed to have life in Christ and you just feel empty? Do you feel God is distant, like there's a wall between you and Him? You know He's real, you know in Him. Well, the message today I have is for you. If you feel those things, you don't have to feel those things. If you don't, praise Jesus. But if you do, it's like we all do. And I feel like part of what God is saying in this chapter, it's like you've got to know that you're disconnected apart from Him. But if you're sincere for Jesus and you just don't feel it, God wants to draw you and supernaturally begin to charge you to show you something. John chapter 16. Jesus is talking to his disciples. It says, in that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. And so Jesus is talking to his apostles, to his early disciples. He says, until now, you have asked nothing of me. You haven't prayed in my name. But if you think about it, they kind of had prayed in Jesus' name. They had cast out demons in his name, which is kind of cool. They had healed the sick in his name. But what he's saying, stealing from Matthew Henry's commentary, is it says, to the matter of their prayers, you have asked nothing comparatively, nothing to what you might have asked and will ask when the Spirit is poured out. The Holy Spirit hadn't come on them in power and indwelt them. See what a generous benefactor our Lord Jesus is, above all benefactors. He gives liberally, insofar as upbraiding us with the frequency and largeness of his gifts, that he rather upbraids with the seldomness and straightness of our requests. Kind of strange language. But you have asked nothing in comparison of what you want, or what I have to give, and you have and promised to give. We are told, open our mouths wide. So these apostles, they saw Jesus' life of prayer in the Father, but they didn't have that life of prayer yet. They had authority from Christ because they had been commissioned by him, but they had not yet had the power of the Holy Spirit in pertaining to prayer. It says, to the name in which they prayed. So they hadn't prayed in Jesus' name in this sense. They had prayed many a prayer, but never so expressly in the name of Christ as now Jesus is directing them to do. For he had not yet been offered as the great sacrifice in the virtue which our prayers were to be accepted, nor entered upon his intercession for us, the incense whereof was to perfume all of our devotions, and so enable us to pray in his name. They had cast out devils, healed diseases in the name of Christ as a king and a prophet, but they had not yet distinctly prayed in Jesus' name as a priest. Revelation 1, just bouncing around a little bit. It says that John's to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from God, who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits from who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from among the dead, and the ruler over all the kings of the earth, to him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. The point for saying all that is to say this: Jesus has made you and I and every believer in his name a priest. The disciples were followers of Jesus, but they were not yet priests through the veil that was torn and through the blood of Jesus that made them priests. What qualified them to go before the throne room of God was a sacrifice that Christ gave on the cross. He purchased a new identity for you and I, that we don't have to work for this. We just have to receive that identity. You are a priest of God. Under the leadership of the high priest, you are new creations. You, on behalf of others, you, on behalf of yourself, can go before God justly because of what Jesus has done. His blood purchased this great high calling. The apostles, they had healed, which is wonderful and still happens today. They had cast out demons, which is wonderful and still happens today. But they didn't have the priestly role yet that was so valuable to Jesus. When he communicates with them, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, when he lives inside of you, you will have a whole new level of prayer life. That's not just petitioning at a distance and hoping that you're heard, but knowing that you're heard as a priest and as a son or daughter of God. Jesus' blood purchased for you a pain-free prayer life. Not saying that there's not never work in any sense at all, but just saying you have to start from identity. You are a ransomed child of God. He paid the price you didn't have to pay. You come into his courts in time of need because of his grace and his mercy. We shouldn't be wonder that God hears us in one sense because of what Christ has done. It's only natural. The reason we have joy in the house of prayer is because what Jesus has done, because of the access. And yes, we rejoice in the answered prayer, and yes, we rejoice in all the benefits and blessings of prayer, but yes, we rejoice because we get to be with our dad and hang out with him. We get a whole new level of communion with him. So many Christians live under the devil's accusation of shame and guilt that says you're not enough, you can't have enough, or you didn't tithe, or you didn't go to church, and those are good things, by the way. Praise Jesus, you're here. You didn't. But what the devil never tells you is what you did do is by faith receive Christ and the power of it. When I was a young Christian, a young believer, I remember, I'm only 26, but when I was younger, the Lord spoke to me and I had an internal vision. And I remember it was so random to me, but that's why I remember it. I saw a picture of a caveman coming toward me with a big club. Think the Flintstones. Coming towards me, and it almost a jolt of fear is there, as if something terrifying and ancient's coming towards you. But I remember the Lord's voice saying, "Matt, he's afraid of you." Like in my mind, it didn't feel or think that he was afraid, but the enemy is afraid of you and I, and he is terribly afraid of your rest-filled, peaceful prayer life. He's afraid of you knowing that God the Father takes delight. The way that God sees Jesus and loves him is the way he loves you. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, and so love one another. He loves you. God the Father loves you just like he loves God, Jesus. He loves you. And you have to let that sink from the head to the heart. You have to let that connect from here to here. Like, it's not enough to know that God loves out there. God, of course, God loves everyone. God loves America. God bless America. Sorry, America, the A is silent, right? America. And God loves out there. And I had read the Bible for most of my life. I'd spent summers. I went to my Baptist youth campsite. I had done all that. But when I remember giving my life to Christ for real and surrendering all, knowing the mercy of God, having walked away, believing in heaven and hell, and believing in that, you know, when I die, I'm going to go one or to the other, knowing that Jesus was the only way. I just didn't know that God was the God of today. I thought he was a God of yesterday. I thought he was a God of tomorrow, but I didn't think he was a God of today. And I didn't think it mattered if I lived for him or if I gave everything to him. I didn't see pertinence. I didn't see people whose lifestyle I wanted to emulate that said they follow Jesus. And so when I came to him, like, I realized, oh my gosh, this is different. When I would open the Bible, I would see, like, Jesus, what's this mean? I would talk to him because I saw he was near. So he was near in what used to be maybe boring or monotonous or just a discipline of being open. And I remember at one point, not all the time, but at one point, I would read the words, he referring to God or his referring to God, and I would stop. As simple as it sounds, I'm like, God is a person. It just struck me. God with a personality, he. God, he is real. He. What is he like? Who is God? What is are his attributes? And I don't know, simple things being to strike me because I wanted to know him. I wanted relationship. I saw that he could answer prayer. But the first types of answered prayer weren't like, God save the world. It was, God, who are you? What are you like? God turned on something that was turned off, and that was wonder, and that was awe. I had everything figured out intellectually. I knew who God is intellectually. But when I gave my life to him, something at a heart level is like, I don't really know you. I don't really know you like I think. And that's not a condemning thing. That's a wondrous thing. When you know what that you don't know, you're teachable. You're humble. Are you teachable before God's word? Are you teachable in prayer? Or do you know everything? You go to God and all you do is ask him for things. If you had a glimpse of his glory, just a slight percentage of a percentage of a percentage, there might be more prayer that's like, God, who are you? What are you like? Because you realize he is infinite. There's just a doctrine, I think, I can't remember, it's called the doctrine of inexhaustibility. But if you were to study one attribute of God, this doctrine says, for eternity, you would never exhaust one attribute of God. He is so big. He is so vast. He is so wonderful. And we go most days without even thinking about it. We have bought the lie that we know all there is to know. That's why Paul prayed in Ephesians 1, God, I pray for the church of Ephesus. They're already saved. They already know Jesus for salvation. But he prays, God, I pray that you'd open the eyes of their understanding, that they would know what you're like. They would know the hope of your calling. They would know the power that works in those that believe, including them. There's this veil, he says, and he prays that it would be lifted. Part of your prayer life for each other and for yourself is, God, show me more of you as if I had never seen. Restore on wonder. Restore, God, a sense of more, of vastness. I'm just a boat on an ocean, and you're endless, and it's wonderful. I think when we forget that, we grow into routine, and we take one another for granted. I know moments when I spend extra time with God in the morning, more in listening and quiet. I don't like quiet prayer, pace. My wife was hearing me praying in tongues this morning. I don't like quiet, but when I do, I notice I love people much better because I'm around him, you know? When I see how big he is and how small I am, but how much he loves me still, it changes my practical perspective. And so you are priests and you are kings before God. As kings, we take on the stewardship of the gospel. As kings, we see that we have power over the enemy, or authority over the enemy in Christ. As kings, we see that all of heaven and earth belongs to God. Psalm 24. And Satan is under his feet. And you know what? Christ is in us, so Satan's under our feet too. Amen? But as priests, what we see is the vertical access point of where we can go before God. We can talk to him about things on our heart. But as priests, we also talk to him about the world. And this is a privilege. This isn't a burden. This isn't an obligation. This is, God, I know you care about this. And I bring this before your throne knowing you can do something. And Lord, I call out to you. We're not doing this at a distance. We're doing this up close. We're doing this before our God. We're looking to him and looking at him. Not with closed eyes bowed to the floor as if maybe he hears. Not gritting our teeth. But we know our identity just like we know our identity for healing, for miracles, for other truths that God's revealed to you. You don't have to grit your teeth. There might be fervent moments. Don't get me wrong. But in prayer, first, we know that we have access through his blood. The devil will tell you you don't. He's a liar. Tell him to shut up. He's afraid of your prayer life. I know men that it's stigmatized that women are the ones who pray. But I would tell you this. The most manly man who's ever lived, Jesus, was a prayer guy. And it gave him his zeal. And his prayer life, Jesus' time with the Father, is what gave him his boldness. So man, as you spend time in prayer, it doesn't have to look like I pray or Calvin or Barbara pray or whatever preacher or whatever models you've had. But your prayer life, whatever it looks like, is what will give you strength and give you boldness and give you zeal. The enemy wants to steal the prayer life from men. And I'm not condemning you at all. I'm just telling you there's so much potential in your life of prayer. There's so much potential to lead and reclaim. So I encourage you to find other guys to pray with about simple things or about big things, about your own life or about the lives of those around you. You might feel like your life's going well, then begin to lift up other people, your coworkers, your job, those people who do know Christ, for those who don't know Christ. Begin to lift up your city. Pray the things that I was talking about. Pray for your kids, even if everything's good. Pray into their destiny. My parents, since the time I was little, would pray this one prayer: God, make Matt a world changer. They'd pray that for my brothers, too. And I believe years and years and years later, God's at least in part answering that prayer. My mom, since the time I was 5 years old, began to pray for my future wife. And I think God beautifully answered that prayer, above and beyond. I could ask and imagine. And so you can pray. And some of these things are just over the years prayers. And some of these are very urgent and both matter. Long-term, Lord, bless my children, empower them to prosper. Long-term, or God, they're in danger. Strengthen them, heal them, protect them. My brother David was in boot camp in the South when Hurricane Katrina hit. My mom was praying for him and interceding for him. And somebody had given a promise of Psalm 91 over my brother and that God would protect him and whatnot. A little bit more specific, my mom could tell you. But when Hurricane Katrina hit, the worst of the storm hit where they were, and every building around him fell except his. And no cell phone worked except his. And, it kind of woke up my brother because he was kind of walking away for a while. And it was something that woke up his heart, but it was a testament to my mom that God answers prayer. And I know that we all have disappointments. How many times have we prayed and something not happened? And I know that there are things that happen in life we can't explain. But I ask you to not get disillusioned because of things that God hasn't done or apparently done. To hold on to the promises of the Word and to hold on to the things you feel God has spoken to you, both for you personally, for your family, and for your church. You might have heard words 1,000 times from different speakers about promises of what God wants to do in Douglas. I assume that God has been using bunches of other people over the years. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give in to a spirit of cynicism. God doesn't honor cynicism. He honors faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word. So if you have closed off ears because of pain and because of hurt, one is Jesus' compassion and love for you. So you don't have to be afraid to take him. He's not going to flick you in the head, probably. And I don't know. He's God. He could, but he probably won't. He'll probably draw you near, and he'll probably talk to you about hurts. You know what? If you're waiting to be healed and it's been years, go to a counselor. Go talk to pastors. Let them listen. Do whatever you got to do to get a spirit of cynicism off your life. God doesn't move because of our cynicism. He moves because of our faith. And he's not moved by need. He's moved by vision. And so let him work in your life. We all can get cynical. I can always think, what has God not done in my life? What about this prophetic word 5 years ago? What about this, God? And but sooner or later, it says the pure in heart will see God. When we allow God to rid us of our bitterness, our offense, our woundedness, what our parents did or did not do to us, what our church did or did not do for us, when we allow God to cleanse that stuff out of us, we can begin to see what he really wants to do and is doing. I promise you, God has a bigger plan for your life than you have for it. I promise you, God has more plans for your city than you have. I promise you that God is the best gift giver, and he wants to so show gifts, give them to you and give them through you. But if our hearts aren't pure, then sometimes we just can't see it. The worst thing that can happen sometimes is when somebody gets a prophetic gift on their life or a healing gift and their character doesn't match. It seems so contradictory, doesn't it? When God uses us, but we are in rebellious sin, I don't know why that happens. The Bible says that the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. But position yourself inwardly, inward holiness. Out of calling out to God, I can't, but you can. If you're struggling in sin, I'm not going to call out sin. Allow God, just take it to God. You might have prayed 1,000 times, but make it 1,001. Lord, I want to be holy as you're holy. And I can't do it without you, which is something good to pray right there. Only your Spirit can lead me out of sin and towards righteousness. Don't let your this entangling sin hang on to you. Keep praying. Get other people around you. You might be embarrassed. You might be ashamed. But get people praying and really do it. Begin to declare, this isn't who I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am always led in a triumphal procession in Christ. The Spirit of God in me is greater than he that's in the world. The Spirit of God who is in me is greater than the sin or the problem or the weakness or whatever it is. Begin to declare it. Even if it's only for your own heart, begin to declare those things. And so the reason why I call today the gift of prayer is because of this. I think God refreshes us in the place of prayer. And if it's become a burden or an obligation, and look, I'm a prayer guy, so I can get those feelings. What, do we pray for the border? Do we pray for America? Do we pray for Donald Trump or against Donald Trump? Do we pray for President Obama against him? I don't know. And there's so many people who give so many directives. Do we pray for Mexico? Do we pray for the typhoon? Do we pray for the tsunami? Do we pray for just our families? Do we pray for the schools? Because they're telling us to pray for schools. I don't know. You can be so overwhelmed by how many people have ever felt overwhelmed by the amount of things to pray for. Yeah. And how many of you have lost loved ones, you're still waiting to come to know Jesus? How many of you saw them come to Jesus and then they walked away and you're like, what? This wasn't supposed to happen. So there's a million reasons why to be overwhelmed. But I would say there's a good reason in Christ to not be. All his promises are true. They are yea and amen. And he takes in the foreigners. He pursues the outcasts. He is for the down and outer. He is for those who don't look likely. Isaiah 61 says he gives beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for a spirit of despair. God is after the unlikely. He comes in at the last moment at times. He comes in the darkest place and in the most unlikely, impossible situations so that he can get credit. So if you're in the midst of impossibility, but you feel like God's given you a promise, then you can tend and begin to even thank God. Maybe you haven't done that. Thank you, Lord, for breaking through. Thank you, Lord, for showing up. There's so many times, especially in my early Christian walk, when I walk into worship and I felt so, that spiritual resistance, that I felt like not being there. I felt like not worshiping. But I begin to learn, God, I thank you that it's going to get really good right now. Thank you, Lord, that you're about to show up. Thank you, Lord, I've seen you enough times that you're going to change this. And I remember like so many times in worship where I'd be crying under God's presence, and when the minute before I felt like nothing. And oftentimes those were, God, I thank you for your faithfulness right now. I praise you. Have you lost a spirit of praise? Have you lost a spirit of thanksgiving? Have you forgot to thank God for who he is regardless of how you feel? You might just feel a little bit more if you stop focused so much on what God hasn't done and start thanking him for what he has already done in your life. If not just your own salvation, which is the greatest thing he's done. Have you praised him for the sun and the moon and the stars? Have you praised him that you have a home? Have you praised him that he's given you food? Have you praised him that he's given you the gift of his Spirit who lives in you, which is incredible? Have you thanked him much? It might be good for once a week just to set 20 minutes apart and just thank God and praise him for his character. And what you'll find is that faith will rise up in you. And as you thank God and his faith wells up in you, I almost promise you that when you begin to pray, like there's faith to connect to it. Yes. And it comes from, Lord, I forgot you, how faithful you were. I've been asking and asking, but no, Lord, I thank you. You're going to take care of this. You're going to do this. Does that make sense to anyone? Yes. And I was almost going to have you do it when I first came up. Just everyone start thanking God for something he's done. Because I think it's so powerful. A spirit of gratitude is one of those things that helps restore spirit faith in prayer. Gosh, there's a million directions I could go, but I'm not going to talk you to death. I would say this. God wants to restore faith in answered prayer. How many of you transparently feel like you're in a season of unanswered prayer, where you feel like you're praying, but nothing is happening? If not, it's getting worse. Yeah. So I didn't think it'd be everyone, but I felt like it'd be some. How many of you feel like God answers sometimes you feel God answers everyone else's prayer but not mine, you know? Those traveling evangelists, I don't know if I'm considered one, I don't know what I'm considered, but who talk about the promises of God and all the glory, and then everything seems to go to hell in your life. You're like, what's up with that? You know, sometimes God takes you from glory to glory, and there's a big long two in the hallway from one room to the next, one place of glory. And I don't think it's answered everything, but I say this, God is more interested in who you're becoming than what you're doing. He's more interested in Christ being formed in you. I promise you, Jesus wants to shine himself inside of you even more than he wants to do it through you. He wants to do it through you, but Jesus purchased you for God. He ransomed you for a relationship with the Father. And you know what? The biggest gift you can give God is yourself. It's not praying for other people, though I absolutely believe in it. It's not ministering to other people, though I absolutely think that can be a gift. It is you saying, Jesus, I will love you for you and let you love on me for me. If you have kids, or all of us are kids, I suppose, like when you just have those simple moments of them hugging you and not letting go, some of you need to do that to God or let him do that to you. I love you for you. I just want to be with you. Or allow him to hold you. Early in my Christian walk, there's so many memories of just this picture of God with his arms around me and just letting me weep. Just on a loving father, and that's what I needed in that season. I'll always need it, but that's what was being formed in me is, you're just my dad, and you just want to be with me. I didn't have ambition to go speak places. I didn't have ambition to go and change the world. I had a lot of zeal, but it was just, Jesus, if I'm a donut maker for God, then that's okay. I don't know why donut maker was the worst thing in the world to me, but you could eat donuts, so I don't know. But I remember thinking, like, I don't care if I'm ever known or famous. I care that I get to love you. I care that I get to weep in your presence. One of my visions, one of my heroes is she's probably 85 now. Her name is Mary Seacrest. And I used to watch her in the prayer center at her church that I used to attend. And she would just weep as she reads the word. And she would just talk about how Jesus loved. And I'd pray for her and she'd pray for me. And I'm like, God, I want to be like that when I'm older. Like, God, I don't know what you're going to do with the rest of my life. I don't have as much insight as some do about everything in their life. But I know this. I know who I want to be, and that's all in for you. I want to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so for some of you, the gift of prayer, how God can redeem that in your life is just don't make it about the things you're praying for. Make it about the person you're praying to. And you might find your joy restored in that. For some of you, maybe that's been your focus. It's been slowing down. It's been waiting on God. For you, not out of works, but out of intimacy, I think Jesus wants to show you how he answers prayer to a new level. Because that's an intimate thing. How many, intimacy, like especially for guys, like when you could sit around and talk, and I'm one who likes talking, but you could be working on a project, painting something together, building something, and there's intimacy in doing something together. There's an intimacy in just doing a job and stuff like that. And so in ministry, it can be like that. If the first things are first and second things are second, when we're ministering with the Lord and he's like, tell this person that, and God shows up, or pray this and you see how, oh my gosh, you answered. There's so much intimacy and connection working hand in hand with God. It's just not the basis of your identity. And for others of you, like, it's time to think. It's a gift you give others. It's a way that you minister. Ministry is okay. One of my favorite authors right now is a guy named Richard Foster. And he says this, if we are truly to love people, we will desire for them more than it is within our power to give them. And this will lead us to prayer. Intercession is a way of loving others. Not to replace action, but realizing that I want more for my kids one day. I mean, 8 months from now, I don't know. Then I'm within my power, but not within God's power. So when you have such love for the people, the world around you, you'll begin to pray out of love. And it's a gift we give God in love and devotion. Like I said, we hug God. One of the phrases I like to use is, Lord, I lay my hands on your heart and I bless you. Lay my hands on your heart. God, so much is happening in the world, and so many people accuse you of things that aren't true of your nature. That must hurt your heart a little bit. I'm so sorry. I just want to remind you, Lord, just as a friend, as a son, you're so good. Everyone else might be cursing you right now, but I just bless you. I love you. It's a gift we give to God. I think one of the most ultimate expressions of maturity in Christ is friendship with Jesus. I don't think we are automatically friends just because we're saved. I think friendship is a developed trust, a developed thing. And for some of you, you might hear that. He wants to be friends with you, like he was with Abraham. He called Abraham his friend. Moses he called his friend. And Exodus 33, it said that Moses talked face to, or God talked face to face with Moses as a man would talk to his friend. And it's interesting that God humbles himself to have real, true friendship with human beings. He humbles himself. I don't understand it. He told his disciples in John 15, "No longer do I call you servants, for servants have no place with their master. But now have I called you friends, because I've shared all things the Father shared with me." And from the time of my early walk, I heard Jesus saying, "I want friendship with you." And he wants friendship with every one of us. And what that means is he doesn't just tell us what to do. He shares the secrets of his hearts. But he doesn't want the pearls of his love and the pearls of his insight to be trampled on like mere stone. He wants us to treat his thoughts and his perspectives and the gems of his word with respect and regard. So what I'd like to do is to pray for a few minutes and an altar in a sense. So if you'll bow your heads with me, you can play maybe guitar or piano lightly behind either. And I just want to believe the Holy Spirit to come in. Holy Spirit, I just welcome you. I think you're doing unique things in different people in the room, and for some you're working in different ways. Lord, I just thank you. There's somebody who has... There's somebody who has deterioration in the middle of their back. And I just declare you're healed right now in Jesus' name. We're going to do some altar stuff, but in Jesus' name, there's someone with partial hearing loss, and it was caused by a hit to your head. I don't know how that happens, but you have a damage from, I don't know if it's a car accident or some kind of blow, but your hearing is healed in Jesus' name. So if you'll bow your heads, Jesus, we love you. I just feel like I'm just going to simply say it. There's someone or someone's in this room. You're just not where you need to be with God. And he's not condemning you right now, but he is so wanting to show you his goodness. He is so wanting for you to see him afresh, and he's so wanting all in commitment. And I was talking about it last night with someone about Barbara and Calvin, I think. And I felt like today was a day for some people to go all in. You're half in, but you're not all in. You're partly in, but you're not all in. And you're only going to taste the best of the goodness of God when your toes aren't in the water, but you're jumping off the diving board and you're swimming in the deep of his heart. And so if that's you today, I'm not going to make you stand up. But what I'm going to ask you to do is talk to God. Not toward God, but at to God. Lord, I want to be all in. I want to give you everything. And just express your desire to him. And let him express his desire back to you. I want to give you grace. I want to give you strength. I want to take that from you. I want this relationship. Whatever it is. I promise you his faithfulness will be there for you as you give up the wrong things for the right things. Promise you. For some, it's forgive your mom, forgive your dad, forgive your old boss who fired you or something or wronged you. For some of you, it's just forgive and let God. Let God be the judge. Don't be the judge. Let God be the judge. Be free in your heart by forgiveness. It's not going to be anything crazy right now. You just do it on your own. You just got to give it to you. I see someone who is metaphorically speeding down the freeway with God, doing his will, and you made a turn of disobedience and you stopped. You went so far, but you're camping out right now, and you regret whatever decision or decisions were made out of disobedience, whether it was a year ago or whatever. And God is saying, get in the car with me. I want to be your GPS. I'm going to get you back on track. You're going to run fast and strong. You don't have to stay where you're at. You can go with me. So there's someone here. You're going hard and fast for Jesus with him. But you made a wrong decision. It's time to get back in the game. Get back into ministry. Get back into his word. Get back with him. He's not condemning you. He's calling you out and just saying, go and sin no more. Come with me. And I bless you in Jesus' name. So if you just want to sit there for a few minutes, let God minister. Minister to God. Let him minister to you. Holy Spirit. Just turn it down real quick. So Mitch and Nina, come here. If you would, please. So I just saw a picture. I wasn't thinking about you, but had my eyes closed. And I saw a picture of you. You know, if you think of a Russian ballroom, can you picture that? And can you picture, like, not professional, but, like, just regal attire, like a prince, like Anastasia or something. I don't know, that whole kind of ballroom scene. And I saw you guys dancing together, and almost in a wedding gown, but not quite, just dancing together. And I felt like for you guys that God wanted to dance with you, in a sense. And so he wanted you guys, this relationship with one another and with him, is just to bring the smoothness. Not like an awkward square dance and going back and forth, but just this fluidity. And I just don't know. I just felt like there was this romance with God that he wanted to give. But I felt like I saw you guys as a couple, because that's what he wanted to give you to. And I just feel like, if I'm off, let it roll off your shoulder. But just trying to make life happen, try to make your future happen, try to make things fit, trying to force puzzle pieces together, and it doesn't fit because it's the wrong spot. But I just felt like he's like, I just want to dance with you. I just want to be in the moment and be present with you in today. He's like, I just feel like he's saying, I promise you, I'll be there in your tomorrow, but be with me in today. And don't give up your being with God today for the sake of trying to plan the future. And that God wants to look at you with those things, but together, not apart from him. So I'm not saying you have done that. It's just what I feel from him. And I just feel like he wants to lock eyes and not just look around the room and look at everything else, but one is the most beautiful thing he has. He's given you is his wife, your wife. But two is you're his bride, and you're the most beautiful thing that Jesus has, and that relationship. And I just feel like he wants to restore the sparkle back to your relationship with him and see him afresh and see the way he looks at you afresh. So I feel like whether it's with the church or whether it's in your private and just in your home, I feel like God wants to take you to a sweet place of worship. and just this falling back in love with Jesus. And so I believe on your worship team, and I also believe just when you're in small groups, that that will be a marker in this next season, is people just, they fell back in love with Jesus. Of all things, that just people come back to you. I don't know where I was with God, but I came. I don't know why I came tonight, but or came today. But I just feel like I have a passion that I didn't have walking in. That first love thing is what he's going to restore. Does that make sense? All right. If you guys want to reach out your hands toward him. So Jesus, I just thank you for them, and I just bless them. And I just say, may the Lord take you to new heights of holy adventure in him. May he see, show you that you are the apple of his eye. May the Lord show you that you are beautiful and lovely to him, just like you're singing, that he's beautiful to you, you're beautiful to him. That the Lord adores you guys, not in a weird sense, but just like you adore your kids. They didn't do anything, they just were. And he adores you guys, and he loves you guys, and you're sweet to him, and your worship, not just to everyone else in the room, but your worship to him is awesome. Your sacrifice, Mitch, I don't know where you, I just feel like you've been making some faithful steps. Your sacrifices, your baby steps, you're choosing right in the midst of options, and the Lord's proud of you, man. And I just thank you, Lord, that you're strengthening them now. You're showing them how to be present with God and with one another. And Lord, you're going to give them space. You're going to give them opportunity to dream with you, to expand their capacity to even look at the future from supernatural lenses. Lord, you're not done with them in ministry. You're not done with them in worship. Not that I think they think that. I don't know. But I just thank you that there are times they could never imagine, and venues and opportunities they could have never made happen. And the Lord in time is going to set you like a puzzle piece by other puzzle pieces, and it's going to fit without making it happen. The Lord says, as you walk step in step with me, I'll walk you around a corner. I'll bring you to the right place at the right time, and it will be so worth it. You might feel maybe that you're on the back burner, but the Lord says, you will know the fire of my presence. You will know the power of my deliverance. And where you are right now is where I have you. And you're not out of my will. You're in the middle of my will. And so, Lord, let that peace come on them, that they're following you, that simple obedience is okay. It's okay. We bless you. As a church body, we bless you and call forth God's purpose on you. As a church body, we recommission you in worship and in sweetness with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Yeah. And so if any of those things I was praying for them felt like, oh gosh, that felt like it was from my own heart, the Lord sometimes takes those prayers or prophetic things and is speaking to multiple people at the same time sometimes. So if you felt like, I wish that was me, then just claim it for you, and that's okay. What I want to do is change tones just a little bit. If you just feel like you just want to be closer with Jesus, it doesn't matter the reason, but you just feel like, God, I want renewed intimacy with you. I just want to be closer with you than I've ever been. For any reason, I just want you to come to the front, and I just want sweetness. Just let God minister to you. I feel this is a sovereign moment where God's going to give you a breakthrough you need to just worship him, just to love him, and to simplify all this prayer stuff. And so I'll give you a few minutes, but I'll pray. My eyes are closed. I'm not looking at you guys. I'm looking towards Jesus. So, Lord, we bless you. We honor you. And I thank you right now that you're restoring, God, a simple love for you, simple faith for you, simple devotion for you. You're not looking for us to have all the answers. You're just looking for us to give us to you. You're just looking for us to give you your hearts. You're not looking for us to give you the world. You're looking for us just to give our weak, small hearts so you can lay your hand on it and make something beautiful. Lord, I thank you that right now you're reigniting passion and you're beginning to blow the wind of your spirit that breathes a flame, Lord. I just thank you for your sweet moving. And we command in the name of Jesus any demonic resistance to intimacy with God in this room, any specific demonic assignment against anyone in this room or in this church, assigned to resist intimacy and prayer devotional prayer lives, when you go into prayer but you feel like you're so excited, but you get there and you're so foggy of mind, I break that off you right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for your anointing that's beginning to release impartation for lasting prayer life, lasting breakthrough right now. Some of you are just feel like, I've tried it, but it didn't work. And God says, try this time. There's fresh grace for you. And so we just release that, God. We thank you for that, God. Lord, thank you for your love and your pride over this body. Thank you for simplicity of faith. You're restoring and connecting and breathing intimacy and first love. You're showing them, I loved you, Barbara and Cal, before you ever loved me. I saw you. I'm going to pray off the mic real quick. Just keep loving on Jesus.
Thank you.
And so if you just declare that over your life, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go the distance in the Lord. No matter what heaven or hell says about me or happens in life, I'm going to follow Christ. No matter what people say, no matter what the enemy says, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be a winner, and I'm going to be there loving you, God. What I want to give an altar to is this, is I felt of all the things I was excited for this weekend when I was talking to people, I felt this one moment was particularly significant, is that there are people who are, everyone is a priest of God, but there are those who are called to a gift of prayer, and there's no gift more or less significant than another gift. If you have a gift of service, you serve. If you have a gift of mercy, you give mercy. If you have a gift of administration, you administrate. They're all gifts and they're all necessary. But I felt like God wanted to give a gift of prayer. And what I mean by that is a gift of intercession. That there are those who pray a little bit more than others. And there are those who just have a grace from God to seek him in faith, in private, and with others. And to lead prayer meetings and stuff like that. But a gift of intercession that believes for other people's lives and ministries. And if you feel like that would be you, I just want to call you to the front. If you feel like that has been you, I felt God wants to give you a greater portion, a greater anointing and authority and intercession, that when you pray, you know, mountains are being moved and faith is being released. And so if you think that might be you, just come to the front. Even if you're only half sure, that's okay. I'll move with half. But I just want to lay hands and pray for it. I remember Dutch Sheets laid hands on me, Cindy Jacobs one time too, and we're just laid hands. I impart the mantle I gave you of prayer, God gave me in prayer. And they just laid a hands on us, and I just felt like there was a new authority. And that's what I want to pray for you guys. God, release a new authority and grace in prayer. And you might feel it right now, but it's just going to be by faith. You might cry, you might not. I'm not looking for how that happens. I'm just going to pray for you. So, Leah, you want to join me? We're going to pray. Yeah, we'll go down the line. And if you're in your chair, you just spend time with Jesus. Pray for those up here, and that's okay. And so, Father, we bless what you're doing. We welcome you and bless what you're doing, Holy Spirit. We ask for more. In Jesus' name, we say let healing and miracles be released in this atmosphere. Let faith and hope arise. We just say ears be open to the voice of God, hearts be open and attuned to him. We just release faith in this atmosphere that you are God of miracles, not just out there, but in this room. You care, God. You care, God, in Jesus' name. So keep pressing in. You can sing a song up there. And so I just see this place full in the spirit of people praying and seeking God together. I see people within this church, but I see just like you were talking about youth coming to the youth meeting, maybe from other churches, but I just see this place full of people praying. And we say, God, give them a grace to convene prayer meetings, to convene and help create and steward and foster the prayer movement in Douglas, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for a grace of intercession, a grace of a flame that you would fan. Lord, I just thank you for a matured leadership here over the next few years and next few months. Lord, not only intercession that three or four gather in, but I thank you that there is a grace on your lives. There's a grace on this community for many people to seek God together. Yes, in worship and yes, in intercession. Father, I see that their mothers coming specifically to pray for their children to come home, and that God will give authority and victory in the intercession gathering specifically for prodigals to come home. I see people who have kids who are involved in the wrong crowd of drugs and cartels who begin to cry out. Their moms are radical, and they're going to have their sons come back through constant intercession and faith. Father, I just see moms. I know there's other people, but I just thank you that there's me a real grace, Lord. Praying parent groups that start here, Lord. Covering, God, the school. I know there's other churches that'll be involved, and I don't know how that works, but I just declare today an open heavens for connection and favor and opportunities. We bless it, and we just say, the Lord, loose favor today. May God, your angels attend to that word. In Jesus' name, continue to pray for you guys. And so, Lord, we do bless you. We thank you for everything you do, and we thank you for all your speaking in the Spirit. And we do welcome you. And Lord, I just say over this place, the grace you've given me, and I pray above and beyond, loose the grace of intercession in this region that sees breakthrough and that sees it through. We just say, Lord, give a grace that rewrites history, that doesn't just see history as it is, but sees history as it will be. Lord, raise up a whole new band of intercessors that don't feel the heaviness of wickedness, but they feel the joy of what God is doing and wanting to do. Open their eyes, Lord, to understand the hope of their calling and the power that is in those who that in those that believe. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. What is his name? Hey, Mike, come up here. You're like, why'd I come out? You just want to stretch out your hands toward Mike. Is it okay if we pray for you? So, Lord, we just bless Mike in Jesus' name. You know, sometimes when you pray or prophesy over someone, the purpose for doing it on the mic is so other people can be encouraged too. And sometimes you know what's going on in people's lives and what they're good at, and it's just affirmation. So, in a very risky way, just listen in. I feel like the Lord has a gift of wisdom on your life, a spirit of wisdom. You don't have to say a lot to say a lot. You can say very little and say very much. And that's a gift. That's a gift. I just see people around your life, even young men, maybe in the workplace, I don't know, that you can just say simple words of faith. I mean, some people make faith complex. You'll make it super simple in everyday language in a way people understand. The Lord says, I've called you with the grace of an evangelist. And you may not have seen yourself this way, I feel God saying, but I see you this way. And you people will see it around you that you're going to be able to walk into a room and people could be totally against God. But you walk out and they're like, if he's a Christian, I want to be one too. And I just see God just turning things around, and some people carry joy on them as a Christian. Some people carry just the heat of his presence. Some people carry things, but you'll carry just, things just make sense. Like, of course Christianity makes sense. Of course this church thing makes sense. It's just, of course. Just like that simple anointing. I don't know how to describe it, but it's a grace for evangelism, and it's a grace just to say very quickly things that some people take a long time to say. And Lord loves your humility. And the Lord, he exalts the humble. And so we just bless God in the way that he pleases to exalt you, to grow you. And we just call you a man of God and a man of purpose and a man of destiny. And the Lord says, your time is coming. I'm gonna show you my movement, my supernatural power and placement. And not necessarily miracles, but I see God's supernatural hand on you, a favor and opportunity that you'll know that had to be God. And you'll know that you know that you know that God is in your journey. And God is going to place you in important places with important people in your job or vocation. And I just see just God just giving you wisdom for people. I see people venting with you that you're like, why are they talking to me? And it's just because God's going to breathe wisdom and simple love. Other people will chew out the people who are going to talk to you because they see everything else, but you're going to have such a simple love. Have you thought of this in just simple words? And I just bless you in Jesus' name and call forth God's supernatural favor and anointing today. And the Lord is beginning to heal something in your body. I don't know what it is, but it has to do with your strength and your energy. And I just release God's grace in you right now for power to flow. I just see a stronger back, a stronger frame, Lord. We just release healing over you today. Okay, so we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks, Mike. And so tonight, one of the things for Holy Spirit night that I really feel God highlight is there's a gift of prayer, there's a gift of intercession, but there's a gift of prophecy. And I so believe that God is prophetic in nature. And so believe he wants to use the body to speak life over the body. And that's an activation. So I encourage you to be tonight. We'll see what it looks like in form, but I really believe that God has a prophetic grace to activate it. And so if you've walked in the prophetic, I believe there's more for it. He'll use you tonight. And if it's something that you're interested in, but you, other people prophesy, but you believe in it, but it's not you, maybe perhaps God wants to use you and activate you too. But I still believe that the gift of prophecy, its primary role is for edification, encouragement, exhortation. Most of the time when God gives you a word, it's to strengthen, to encourage. Tongues edifies yourself. It's a gift for you for the most part. But prophecy is a gift for others. And God wants to do that with you. It says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who speaks prophecy edifies others. Literally, you build them up. You build them up in their destiny. You build them up in your calling. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says to pursue love, but eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Pursue love. That's the heart of it all. Love Jesus for Jesus. Love people for people's sake. But in the middle of it, the gifts of God are a vehicle to express love and to express God's personality. And Lord, whether they're here or not tonight, I just pray for that activation. Just make them a training center, whether it's the community or a formal thing. Make this place a training center for the gifts of the Spirit. People learn how to prophesy. They learn how to heal. They learn how to be used by God in that way. And I just see God giving you a new model. It won't have to be someone you borrow. Not that you can't take from places, but just it feels right for here. And I just feel God, I don't know. I'm not seeing its curriculum. I don't know what that means, but training center and gifts of the Spirit flowing, but in such a fresh, unique way. You don't feel like people won't compare you to places. You'll just be you. And we bless that on your lives. And Lord, we thank you for everything this morning. We seal it in the blood of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. That's all we got, so.
Amen. Well, have a great afternoon, and please come back tonight if you can. And be sensitive to the Lord in inviting people tonight. There's people that need this type of ministry. And so just, you know, get them by the arm, pick them up, give them a ride, whatever, twist their arm. But the Lord may, you know, want more people here tonight that are really in need of this. So come back tonight at 6 if you can at all. Come back or send someone in your name. God bless you. Thank you, praise and worship team. You guys have done a super job.